just remember to sign into your cell phones.
Keep your hands and feet inside the podcast.
Motherfucker.
Wow, John.
I was in the middle of silencing my cell phone, to be fair.
Please be sure to silence your cell phones.
I was in the middle of it.
Also, technically, the show hasn't started yet, so.
I will start my podcast with a cup of chocolate milk.
I mean, to be fair, that's chocolate milk and coffee.
What's it? There we go. It's like the adult
time.
What's that? Why don't you just, like, cut your hair? Damn, hippie.
I'm not a quitter.
Fair enough.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Dapper Shark Podcast, episode 97. 3 away from 100.
100.
1 away from 98.
Yeah, that's true.
2 away from 99. I mean,
Yeah, damn.
And 102 away from 200. What the fuck are you guys doing?
It's like, what are you getting at? Like, get it.
So, joining us in studio today are James and Emily, who's doing her finals.
Yay, finally.
So she won't actually be here. Well, except for to fill in the blanks whenever she feels like it. She's going to do it anyway.
Just like,
am I not supposed to look at your screen?
I just got to make sure that I say something that, like, completely offends. Like, listen here, motherfucker. And I was like, ah, there she is.
Yeah, pretty much. So, speaking of listen here, motherfucker, I've just about had it with that motherfucker Ajit Pai, because shit keeps coming out over and over again. It's like, hey, look, he lied about this, too.
Oh.
Oh, really? That's what is that?
It's almost like he used to be a fucking lawyer.
Yeah. Oof. Man. So, there has been an investigation going on by Gizmodo.
Gizmodo.
All right.
Not just Gizmodo. Like, we've got federal involvement here, too. But this is the specifics from Gizmodo, showing that, turns out the DDoS that they alleged was caused by John Oliver, trying to get people to sign their petition to stop the shit that the FCC was trying to pull, turns out it wasn't John Oliver's fault. In fact, it never even happened.
What? It's almost like they were stirring up some shit just to make their opposition look bad.
Yeah, you know, it's weird that they did that, and after they faked all the people that were in favor of it, okay, not all of them, just almost all of them, including using dead people and their signatures, which, again, got exposed very quickly.
It's almost like, you know, someone in a position of power using technology to scare people and to make them do what they want. You know, cough, emails, cough, cough, presidential fucking election, cough.
It's almost like it's really easy to lie when people refuse to actually look into things because they hear what they want to hear. And because of their natural bias towards any particular tribal system, they happen to jump on that bandwagon and shout it like it's, well, true.
Yeah, even though they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yep.
Like, anything. Like, whatever. So, this is another reason to get pissed off. And, I don't know, where exactly is it? Net neutrality at, anyways? I thought that, so it passed the first hurdle, kind of choked at the second hurdle, and now.
The president can still sign it.
That's dumb.
Yeah, well, is dumb.
Well, we all know what's going to happen now.
Now, I just want to point out that if this does go through and it revokes net neutrality, guess what's going to be at fault? Our president. I said what? Because I don't think he's human anymore.
He's mostly Cheeto and toupee.
I think he's mostly money.
That's very true. Money and, well, power, actually.
Money point. Wrapped in a toupee, wrapped in a tuxedo.
Wrapped in an asshole.
Wrapped in an orange. Anyway.
Yeah. So just another reason to be pissed off at politics.
The link is, as always, in the show notes. Go ahead and read that very long, in-depth article detailing the investigation and linking to outside sources, including the official government investigation into it, finding exactly the same results. Just, again, throwing that out there.
It really, it's kind of funny because we have safeguards in place and things like, you know, competitions, sports, shit like that, where if you were to literally do what they do in politics, where they lie to get their way. There's no, like, retcon button. You can't just be, like, if, say, net neutrality goes through, and they find out that the only reason why that did go through, or, I don't know, someone was elected, was because a bunch of bullshit that was spewed that was completely false and was proven false, they should be able to be, like, I don't know, red flag, and, I don't know, give Democrats some penalty shots or something.
Here's the thing. I'm not super big a fan of any of our politicians, because I think all of them have been dropping the ball.
Yeah.
I don't want to blame any one group, because they all fucked up. Not only that, the whole penalty shot thing? No, in sports, if you get caught cheating, you get disqualified. So it's not a matter of, okay, mulligan, we have to do this over again because you fucked up. No, it should be a, hey, they were caught cheating, they're out of the running.
But then again, it's almost like our current political climate requires lying and back-scratching. And
which, again, all of our crime. Politicians are failing us. All of them. Every one of them, regardless of political loyalty.
But no, no, Democrats are all good, right? So.
See, and that's the thing, like, I keep talking about how people need to not be so easily divided by, well, this group of people did this.
Well, this group of people did this.
Well, this group of people did this. Hey, guess what? You know, that key word there, people? People did this. People did this. People, individuals. People are individuals. Individuals did this. Are individuals representative of a large community? Sometimes. Sometimes. People agree with them. Yeah. But are people also to be held accountable for their own fucking actions? Yes!
What? Accountability? My bank account has more than, like, $5 million in it, so I don't have to be accountable for anything.
Oh, well, you know, that's fair. Yeah.
You gotta get to that point to unlock the no accountability mode.
Man, it...
And the fucking cheat code you have to put in is insane.
Yep.
I'm just kidding.
You have to start with a small loan.
There's no such thing as cheat codes anymore. It's all pay for power.
Oh my god, that is too real. That is politics in our country now. Like, we literally just have people lobbying. Again, the phrase lobbyist has existed for a good long time, and everyone knows about it. It's not even a secret. It's a, hey, why is this still allowed? They're literally paying for this guy's opinion. They're paying to influence how he represents you. Now, does that not sound a little disingenuous? Just a little?
A little fucked up. Just a little bit, tiny bit. Come on.
So again, I just think there's a term called drain the swamp that I really fucking hate because people aren't using it correctly. But if you really, really, truly want to drain the swamp, first of all, this isn't the way to do it. Second of all, stop using that fucking phrase. I don't think you know what it means. Third of all, what we really need is a changing of the guard. We need to elect people who actually care about our fucking country more than they care about money. People who are like, wow, $40,000 a year to be a governor? That's fucking great. I could live off that.
Yeah. But then, you know, they get that 40K, and then they get, you know, a little bit on the side.
And see, and that's the thing. Like, everyone keeps telling me, it's like, well, that'll never work because everyone's going to take bribes. It's like, I mean, there's a chance they would. It'd be great, though, if we could have some people that actually had some fucking backbone.
Also, you know what's kind of funny? Is that, yeah, if you make, you know, it can't be perfect. Like, nothing ever is perfect. If you were to drain the swamp, or if you were to, you know, take everyone out of office and replace them with, you know, generally good people, you're not going to have 100%. Like,
no.
You can't. But what you can do, I don't know.
Get as like, fucking close as possible?
Get as close as possible and make shit like lobbying illegal.
Absolutely.
Granted, yes, it is going to still technically be possible for a company to under the table fucking, you know,
influence.
Yeah. And then that is illegal, and if they're caught, then they get fucked. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it should work anyway.
Yeah, but making it straight up just completely illegal it's just like, okay, fine, then anyone can do it, and there are no repercussions. And so that's like, okay, so the bigger the company, the more money they have, the more power they have.
And I actually want to bring up Marco Rubio for a second, even though I really don't like talking about him because it makes my mouth feel fuzzy. Marco Rubio said something that was incredibly honest once.
Once.
Again, once. This was after one of the various shootings. When there was a town hall in Florida where he actually showed up, which, again, was actually somewhat respectable. I will give him props for that. He had some backbone.
Credit where credit's due.
One of the parents of a kid that got shot and killed, I forget his name, but he actually outright asked Rubio to stop taking money from lobbyists, and he said, no, I'm not going to stop doing that, and here's why. If they don't agree with the things that I am doing and saying, they will stop giving me money. And that works both ways. I'm going to use the money that they give me to do what I want to with. And I was like, I mean, yes, that is... okay, but that's honest of you and great and all, but you're still literally admitting you're part of the problem.
You're still taking the money, and you can say that you're using it for whatever you want, but knowing in the back of your mind that if you do a certain thing, that money's going to dry up. That still influences your fucking decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether or not you're obligated to do the thing or not, that's completely separate from, you know, whether or not you're actually accepting an actual bribe.
Yeah. And it is tantamount to a bribe. Because the amount of money that we're talking here is not a small amount. We're talking hundreds of thousands, if not literal millions of dollars. Not just to campaign, but, you know... Something's like, oh, this was supposed to go to the campaign funds, but somehow it's ended up in his pocket.
Oh, no. Where do you get that other yacht?
That just fell in my pocket somehow. I don't know how $3 million fits in there, but...
really tiny bills.
Oh. Anyway. There's a lot of problems here, and this whole drain the swamp thing has... I hate to say it, it's a good... idea executed poorly by a man who's not actually intending to do that.
Drain the swamp?
The idea of draining the swamp right now, for people who shout and chant drain the swamp, is, hey, let's get rid of the people who disagree with us.
Yeah.
Which is not how politics are supposed to work. The whole reason that you have representatives is because you have people that are there to represent your opinion, or at least the majority for your area's opinion. Not... your opinion. The majority for your area's opinion. And if your area happens to have an opposing view to someone else's area, then your politicians, both of them, are supposed to talk about it and work out a compromise. They're not supposed to sling mud back and forth via fucking Twitter. They're not supposed to just, on principle, block each other from things going through. Even when, maybe, sometimes the things that they're trying to push through are a good idea.
Yeah. And both sides really, I mean, all sides have their own good ideas. Everybody has, like, each party, and I'm not just talking about, you know, Democrats and Republicans, because, believe it or not, there are actually more parties, and there are actually more diverse opinions than what can be put into, you know, an elephant and a fucking donkey. But... is like everybody has pros and cons. Like, both sides, you know, you have to have a balance. It's kind of like, you know, the whole premise of Star Wars. It's like, you have to have the light and the dark. It's like, one side being, like, all-powerful in either way is a bad thing.
Yeah. So, again, just putting it out there, trying to remove those who disagree with you on principle is, what's the word that we're looking for? The fascist? Is that fascism?
That sounds like it to me.
Removing your political opponents via, you know, underhanded tactics just because they disagree with you, and only hiring people who are going to be yes-men to you whenever you are under investigation, instead accusing people who are investigating you of wrongdoing. That sounds vaguely familiar, but I can't quite place it.
I don't know. Definitely communist, that's for damn sure.
Oh my god. Also, socialism, communism, democratic socialism, republic socialism, these are all things Okay, do you know how adjectives work? When you apply an adjective to an existing noun, it actually changes the attributes of the noun.
That sounds like too complicated.
That's how words work. So when you say socialism is the same as democratic socialism, you're wrong. Because it's democratic with that modifier there, implying that it's mostly democratic, but has aspects of socialism in it. Or it's socialism with a lot of aspects of democracy. Either way you read that, it's still democratic socialism. Now, let's cover republic socialism, too. Now, with republic socialism, you have republic being the adjective and socialism being the noun. So you have socialism with the aspects of a republic in them, or, and James is watching my hand movements, or you have a republic with aspects of socialism. Either way, it changes the meaning of the base fucking words. Meaning, it's a different form of government, you asshats.
Hey, just in case, you know, people at home want to dumb down for him a little bit, it's like chocolate ice cream and strawberry ice cream.
Yeah.
You know.
If you just say, I want ice cream, someone's going to ask, what kind?
I prefer a little bit of socialism in my ice cream.
Ugh. I don't know that I'd eat socialist ice cream. Funded by the masses so that it... Actually, you know, now that I think about it, that sounds pretty good.
But anyway, you know what doesn't sound pretty good?
No.
Like, opening up the fucking main page of Steam and finding, like, 5 million shovelware bullshit games, if you could call them, on the front page.
I question the sanity of Valve and everyone therein. Like, I think maybe they're all farting around too much and they're starting to breathe deep. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what the fuck got in their brains. This is a terrible business move. I get... The idea behind this is, hey, we're going to protect free speech. Let me tell you what the story is first, I guess. Okay. Valve has recently said that unless a game is illegal, they're going to allow it on their platform.
Illegal or straight up trolling, as they say.
Which, again, that vague trolling thing? I don't like that either, but that's a separate issue. The idea that you can have games be on your platform... without any vetting whatsoever means that the shit is gonna rise. I know that the idea is that the good stuff will rise to the surface because everyone will, I don't know, ignore the chaff. But when you mostly have chaff and it fills up the fucking silo, that shit covers up the good things too.
Yeah, no, that sounds like quite possibly the stupidest thing that I've ever heard as far as, you know, game distribution goes. It's like imagine a store, like a brick and mortar store, like imagine Walmart was just like, you know what? We don't care. Anyone can come in here and they can sell whatever the fuck they want. So you go in to get a fucking jar of pickles and you're fighting with some dude who's trying to sell you his lawn clippings and you're like, no, I just want fucking pickles. And this guy's like, I have like pickled cats. And you're like, no, what the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly. So what this is effectively going to do is it's going to hamper the indie market because people are going to have a harder time finding new indie games that aren't undesirable. And it's going to make AAA games rise to the fucking forefront because they can pay the fucking ad revenue to get on the goddamn front page.
So I know that Valve has been under fire for, you know, just letting just shovelware... I can't even call them games, like, really.
Like Asset flips?
Asset flips, just a whole bunch of just low-effort bullshit. I just realized I left my energy drink in the car.
That's a sad fate.
That is sad. Just having, basically just anybody with an afternoon and basic technique in copy and paste can just put something on the fucking storefront. They could even put it on the storefront, not even with the intention to sell it, just because they fucking want to. They're like, I don't care. I'm just going to put it up here just to piss it off because I don't want any legitimate games being sold. So it's like...
Yeah.
Why the fuck? What happened to, like, I don't know, Steam Greenlight? That seemed like a pretty decent idea. Like...
It was, and they got rid of it for some reason.
It's like, you don't have to put a whole bunch of effort in that. You just be like, oh,
you can submit an idea, and then the people decide, not you, the people decide whether, you know, the game is going to be absolute garbage or not, and so then, you know, they give a thumbs up or thumbs down, and if it gets thumbs up, it gets on your store page.
Yeah. I've heard it posited that this is a move for free speech, and...
Wow, that's...
I want to say this. Free speech is something that is highly contested right now, because people don't seem to understand exactly what free speech means. When you are not allowing an exploitative cash grab onto your platform that you own as a company, you are not quashing free speech. What you are doing is filtering out bullshit, which is what people have to do in their daily lives anyway to discern what the facts are.
You also have to consider the fact that it's like you're not stopping anybody from saying or doing anything. It's just like, why would, just because people can say whatever they want doesn't mean you want to hear everyone at the same time.
Exactly. Because not any of you with children out there listening will know that not everything that is said is important.
God fucking damn it, Deuce. Cannot go like 5 minutes driving without just like 20 minutes of content in 5 minutes. Like, are you kidding me? Do you ever stop? No? We're just going to the grocery store. Fuck. And that is basically every day on the fucking storefront, because fuck you and not wanting to goddamn just curate your page a little bit. Or at least allow it to, like, police itself. Come on.
Yeah, you know that whole idea of Steam curators? I really liked that idea. That was a good idea. That wasn't used very much, but it was a great idea.
I think I agree with, Jim Sterling on that, where I think it was Jim Sterling, or maybe it was actually TB.
I think it was Jim, because TB's been dead since...
No, well, I mean, like, the whole curating thing, where the curators don't really get anything for curating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's basically just, it's the same thing as posting on your Facebook, being like, hey, buy this game, I recommend it, you know, it's like, you don't, nothing.
Yeah, it's just them being like, hey, this is a good game, and I like it myself, so you should also like it if you like the things I like.
And granted, there is a little bit of value in that, but if you are trying to, you know, if you make a living off of this sort of thing, most people aren't going to be able to put in the time into actually, especially if the storefront is filled with pages and pages and thousands of these bullshit games that just get up on the store because whatever, you know, you can't slog through that to find the gems and not, like, get anything back for it. It's just like, it's a waste of time.
I mean, I already have to fucking sift through the fucking DLC that counts as games for some reason.
Yeah.
Now I have to slog through this bullshit? I don't know how I'm gonna get more games now, because it's gonna be so... Not that I need a lot more, but it's gonna be so much harder to find something that's good. Because I have been surprised by random games before that I'm like, oh, this is a no-name title. This is, oh, wow, it's actually quite the game.
Exactly. And why... It just blows my mind why they would even bother with this. Why would you make it so that... Because, I mean, all these people, if they want to make asset flips, why don't they just, I don't know, post a website and post it there?
Like itch.io.
They're just like... Yeah. Like, if they want to make it big... Make it big somewhere the fuck else. They probably have a lot better chance, like, making their own website and posting their game there than they do adding it to the laundry list of fucking games that's going to be on the site, like, on Steam.
I don't predict this ending well for them either way. I think what's going to happen is they're going to be liable for some really crass and terrible shit that comes out. Because it's either going to be created as a form of protest, or it's going to be created because people are fucking terrible. And they're going to continually get flack and come under fire and lose investors.
Do you know what the first thing that I thought of when I read this and I heard about all the shit that Valve was doing, the biggest fear that crept in the back of my head was the fact that the games that we bought from Valve, we don't really own. We're more like licensing them.
Yep.
And if Valve goes tits up, so do all our libraries.
Yep.
So, Valve doing this stupid bullshit that,
really
to me...
affects all of us.
Yeah. It's like, if they go tits up, that's hundreds of games that, like, well, even just mine alone, fucking gone.
778 games.
Yeah. Think of John. Think of poor John and all those games he'd be losing. And me. And all the thousands of millions of games that have been purchased and are licensed through Steam. Part of me wonders if they're just like, you know what? We've made our money. We're fucking getting out of this business. But we can't just back out because people will be like, hey, bitch, you owe us all this money for all these games we bought from you.
We have to get shut down.
So how are we going to do it? Well, let's just go on ahead and turn our fucking entire store page that we have, like, we've built from the ground up for years and years and years. Let's just go on ahead and turn it into, like, I don't know, like, Newgrounds or something.
And this is with a system that they just put in place where supposedly games that you are interested are supposed to actually show up on the front page more. This is going to be heavily affected by it, because everyone knows that when you leave everything to an algorithm, nothing bad ever happens and everything works out perfectly.
Ever, ever, ever. Nothing ever happens, John. Algorithms are our friends.
Hey, YouTubers, how you guys doing?
Ouch. Also, on that front, what the fuck... Kind of, like, why do I want an algorithm showing me games that I play all the fucking time? What about diversity? What about, like, trying new things?
Yeah.
Like, all of that shit. You can't do that with an algorithm, because an algorithm is going to be like, oh, you like Call of Duty? Well, here's a Call of Duty clone. That's it. Like, granted, any algorithm should probably just be like, hey, you like Call of Duty? Well, you should just stop playing video games. But,
well, it's supposed to run on the tag system. So when people tag a game as, it's this type of game, and this type of game, and this type of game, they will look through your library, and with me it actually is pretty accurate, because I have so many fucking things for them to pull from, but they will look at the genres that I like and frequently purchase, and be like, oh, this game falls into that, and is highly rated. So occasionally it works out. But more often than not, I'm like, guys, I bought a couple of early access games, and I regret it. Okay? God fucking damn it. Plus, stop showing me early access games.
To be fair, you do play quite a few of that early access games, from what I've noticed.
Like?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
You said you noticed it, so...
Well, yeah, no.
Gloria Victis I'm playing right now. To be fair, I got that as a part of a monthly bundle.
I was about to say, okay, name the last, like, 10 games that you've played.
On Steam? Apotheon? Gloria Victis? Black Desert Online, PlanetSide 2, One Piece Pirate Warriors 3, Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition, Yooka-Laylee, Styx, Master of Darkness, or Shards of Darkness, rather.
I'm actually rather impressed that you made it this far.
I don't know the other...
John's head exploded.
Downwell. I don't know what the last one is.
So how many of those did you not play during any early access?
What do you mean?
Because I know a couple of them came out in early access. I don't know if you played them during
that. I didn't play Yooka-Laylee. And that was an early access game.
Yeah.
In fact, I probably wouldn't have bought that if I hadn't just gotten it out of a Humble Bundle.
I was actually wondering. I saw you playing that the other day, and I was like, I thought that, like, that was generally shit upon as far as, you know, being...
Yeah, people were harsh. Honestly, the game's not bad. It's just not good. It's no Hat in Time.
Fair enough.
I had a lot of problems with the camera, for example, that actually got me killed a number of times.
Yeah. I think the biggest complaint that I saw in reviewers were basically just saying that it, like... rehashed a lot of the old shit that was really annoying about classes, like the Banjo-Kazooies.
Without actually improving upon them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
But still, I mean, Humble Bundle, the price is right.
Yep.
Imagine. So. Speaking of early access, well, not in early access anymore, but Paladins!
Oh yeah, Paladins is getting a Switch release soon, which I think is going to be great. A way to play that on the go, or like in a cafe,
or in bed,
want to, or in bed, which Emily is going to do a lot.
I just like being comfortable.
It's going to be a good move on their part. But I think this is going to grow.
You know, it's not.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Not yet, though. On the next portion.
No.
We need plenty of time to bash on it. You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think this is a good move for Switch, and I think this is a good move for Paladins.
Hell yeah.
They're hitting the Switch before Overwatch gets a chance to. So they're going to be like, oh, look, a free game that's triple A? Question mark? Double A? Double A.
Double A.
Anyway.
It's like a AAA, but, like, larger.
It's either voltage or amperage, something. I don't know electricity.
Anyway, about the aforementioned break, we're going to go on one, and we'll talk about another misstep here.
Battery jokes.
After we get back.
And we'll have more battery jokes for you.
Please no.
Assault and battery.
We'll be back. And we're back. Did you miss us?
No.
I didn't. It was like mere seconds ago.
Seems like so long ago, John.
So, James, you started with a story.
I started with a story?
You did.
Oh. Bye, I don't know. Is this the part where we bash on paladins for jumping on the Battle Royale bandwagon?
I'm so angry! I'm so angry! What? I do not see the point of having, A, having one more Battle Royale game, and B, having Paladins Battle Royale, of all things. If there is one series that is least suited, if there's one genre that's least suited to weaseling in a Battle Royale, it's hero shooters.
I watched a gameplay trailer of it earlier today, and I have to say I do largely agree, but they did some interesting things, like making it so you pick up abilities as well as weapons.
Okay, but do you ride in on horses?
Yes, you can.
Can?
Yes. You can choose to ride a horse.
Oh. Me.
Yeah. At will.
Do you get to keep all your costume skins and mounts from the original game?
I have no idea because I've not participated in that.
I hate it. So much.
You just want your Eevee skins.
I want to just play paladins.
Well then play paladins. This isn't for you then.
It's stupid.
I don't think this is going to be for me either, because frankly, I just don't like the genre yet. I'll try it, but I don't think it's going to hold my attention, and that's where I stand. And I guess this is them trying to get their slice of that sweet, sweet blue hole, you know, because they own the genre.
Well, isn't that, okay, so in Paladins, aren't you already just like, I mean, granted, yes, you have like multiple lives and shit like that, but aren't you... Wait, do you have you don't have actual lives in Paladin. Once you're out, you're out, right?
No.
No.
Oh, maybe.
You don't have lives at all.
It's a hero shooter. You just respawn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, like, not lives, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
So you just keep on respawning. But isn't it, like, I might be getting my games crossed, but doesn't the area actually already get smaller?
There's a game mode that does that, yes. It's on a pretty small scale, though. I don't remember what it's called.
Was that, yeah, because that was, like, a last man standing sort of thing. Like, you got one life, and if you...
Yes, and they've adapted that to other game modes, too.
So isn't that already pretty much a battle royale? Like, you have one life, the area gets smaller.
Well, it's team deathmatch, though, is the thing.
Yeah. So basically they just took the teams out of that, and they're like, battle royale, yay!
I mean, they were clearly aping other battle royale modes. That's what they were doing. They wanted to see if they could make a game that would give them some of that sweet, sweet money. And that's the end of it. Like, they have no other... ulterior motive. They want money. And they made a mode that they think is going to give them money.
Alright. I don't know.
So, I mean, again, they're doing some things differently, which is cool. You can actually actively pick up shards on the field or from enemies. You can break down fallen weapons and turn them into shards to craft new weapons, but only at forges that are around the map. It takes a full minute to craft a weapon, ability, or a buff. So, and you can do it in teams, which is cool.
It takes mere seconds to turn off the game and go to the deck.
I mean, that is true, but again, we've established this isn't going to be for you.
No, it's really not. I'm just so done with Battle Royale.
I mean, that's kind of the same way that people are starting to feel about hero shooters, I think.
There aren't that many hero shooters.
I mean, there's enough.
I was about to say, you also don't even really need to have a whole lot of them. You just need to have a whole lot of big names competing for pretty much the exact same,
like, I mean, it's setup. Saturation.
Yeah.
It's not, like, quantity, it's saturation. Like, most of the vocal majority are playing the fucking game, so you have to hear about it all the time, so people are done with it just on principle. Like, I'm sure people are tired of hearing us talk about Paladins.
I don't really talk about it that much anymore.
Yeah, actually, it has been a little while, hasn't it?
Yeah,
because we don't play very much anymore.
Granted, I haven't been on a podcast in a little while, but...
I haven't played since, you know, it kept on kicking me out of fucking games, like, all the time, pissing me off.
Yeah.
Because apparently my computer's malicious.
Apparently. Malicious.
So, for some reason, the show notes... Oh, now it updated. Fuck.
Oh, hey, John.
Yeah?
How much do dead batteries cost? Nothing! They're free of charge!
You shouldn't buy dead batteries. It's a dumb move.
But you don't, because they're free of charge.
Yeah, see? They're totally free.
You know, even if the cost is free, really, you're losing.
Are you?
Yes, because now you have junk.
Not necessarily.
Yes, they're free of charge.
You can still sell junk for one gold in the shops. Somebody's going to need these 18,000 dead batteries.
Acid.
Just wait for Walmart to adopt the Steam... you know, mentality, and just start selling dead batteries at Walmart.
Bad Robot is making a games division.
Oh, wait, Bad Robot? Like Bad Robot?
Like J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot. And what I'm really excited for is for them to start working on a game and for J.J. to leave halfway through the project so that the rest of the game becomes some muddled mess, just like all of his other series that he does.
Where he's just like, ah, I'm done with this shit, and then walks away.
Yep, because, you know, he gets bored. And that's J.J.'s rise to fame. I mean, I know people are like, yeah, but he does Star Wars and Star Trek, and he's done Super 8. It's like, first of all, there were other people working on those projects. Yes, he was a big name on them, but there were other people to make him keep working.
I just think there's gonna have, like, NVIDIA's gonna have to develop a lens flare, like, system.
NVIDIA GameWorks lens flare?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, I'm not super excited about this. Really? Because he also, within... let me pull up the quote, and then I'll talk about why it's a little bit bullshit.
That's a tiny little bit bullshit.
Just a smidge. Okay. Quoth the Abrams, I'm a massive games fan, and increasingly envious of the amazing tools developers get to work with, and the worlds they get to play in. Now we are doubling down on our commitment to the space with a unique co-development approach to game-making that allows us to focus on what we do best, and hopefully... be a meaningful multiplier to our developer partners. I want to break that down into layman's terms. What he's saying is, hey, we're going to make games that match the series on shows that we're going to make, and that's going to mean that we have double the chance to hook people.
Let's see, there you go.
That's what he's saying right there. I also want him to maybe go look at Defiance from Sci-Fi, who did the exact same thing and failed fucking miserably. And the show was arguably good. And the game was arguably good.
Arguably? If you were arguing.
The game's still running.
Wait, was that like an MMO or something?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I think they would have just like packed their bags and left the lockdown.
They were making more money off the game.
I'll say, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like an MMO, that's kind of a continuing revenue. Like, model.
Yep.
Versus, you know, like a show. Like, oh, reruns. Or, oh, I'm downloading it, pirating that shit.
I mean, not to mention people were bailing out on it because there was lots of things going wrong with the show. This is my point. JJ does not have the best track record with shows because, traditionally, he starts projects and then leaves.
Yeah. Or how about...
It's been so often... that I fail to understand how people don't remember this happening. The biggest one that he ever did that with was Lost.
Ugh, fucking Lost.
He lost interest and left.
Ah!
Lost it.
Exactly.
See what you did there? Ah, oh, you're hilarious, John.
Yeah.
Also, you know what sucked? Any games that were based off of Lost.
Yeah.
Or any games that were based off of any TV show.
Yeah.
Or pretty much any movie ever made. It's almost like movie games that were based off of movies were somewhat successful. Like, I'm thinking, like, you know, fucking the Arkham games and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
But not a game that was literally just, like, a movie or translated from a movie. Like, you look like you might be thinking of one.
I was thinking James Bond.
Like, GoldenEye?
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe that one's just an anomaly.
there are some, but I was struggling to come up with them, is the problem. Like, Riddick? The Riddick games were good.
I don't think I actually never played that one.
Yeah.
I just remember growing up, I mean,
Granted, yes, GoldenEye was definitely like a diamond in the rough, but pretty much any, one way that I could know that a game was absolute dog shit was if it was a movie. Like,
that's yeah, usually.
Like 99.9% of the time. Like, obviously, there's an exception to every rule, but yeah, no, you pretty much tell. It's like they were all garbage and hot mess.
So, again, they're doubling down here is yeah, we're going to trick stupid people into buying the merch and the game. And that means our investors are going to make money before I lose interest and quit and start a new project and do the same thing over and over again. Which, again, Bad Robot, go look at their track record, specifically with J.J. Abrams involved, and you will see that he bails quite often on quite a few other projects, too, Alias.
I don't know. I think something like this would be kind of interesting if they were basically just going to be trying to make games, like, not a lot. I mean, obviously having a separate division and having people that have worked in, you know, creating a series or creating movies, things like that, trying their hand at making games. I think something like that could be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see how it turns out, yes. But just remember, having worked on a game before does not guarantee success in Mighty No. 9, Keiji Inafune. So, with that in mind, you know where I lie. Let us know in the comments where you think this is going to go. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? Do you think it's just a cash grab and it's going to end poorly for everyone?
I don't know. Ultimately, if it's just a cash grab, then, you know, it'll either be good, which cash grabs almost never are, or it'll be, you know, bad. And they'll stop and they'll just shut it down and be like, shuffle back to making series, or half of series.
Mm-hmm.
Or two halves of series that don't fucking make any sense.
Yep. Speaking of series that don't make any sense, because there's no continuity, Final Fantasy 15!
Oh! That was actually a pretty good segue there.
Yeah. I do those from time to time.
Well, I guess you couldn't really call it, like, leaving halfway through. But how about dragging something out for fucking ever and ever and ever?
Like having, Square like, Enix? Nah, it doesn't sound like them.
No? You mean, like, developing a game for, like, 10+ years?
Final Fantasy fans, you guys bitch and moan, Kingdom Hearts 3 better fucking be at this E3, or I swear to God, I'm gonna burn something.
E3 starts, like, this week, doesn't it? Or last week?
Very, very soon.
I'm interested. There was actually, John from work was asking me today, like, if I was excited for any games coming out. I'm like, no. I mean, like, I don't really know of any games that are actually... Most of the big companies that are doing something at E3 haven't really said what they're doing at E3. They're just like, we're doing a thing at E3. And it's like, okay, what is it? I don't know. Maybe Death Stranding?
Maybe. We can finally see some fucking gameplay and what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
That's the only thing interesting about that so far. It's like, where the fuck are you?!
I don't understand. It's like, Silent Hills? No. Damn it. Sad. But, yeah, no, so, Final Fantasy 15, get back to the topic at hand. I just kind of wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, after they've drug it out for so long, you know, 10-year development cycle, developing it on PC, then releasing it on PlayStation, and then waiting like a year and a half to release it on PC, which makes total sense. finally letting me play it and actually pretty much taking me about 3 months to actually chew through the content, which you'd think is kind of impressive, but considering the amount of time I actually get to play and the fact that it is like a full-fledged RPG isn't really that impressive. But, yeah. So they finally have modding tools.
I wanted to ask you, as a short aside, what was your final gameplay hours?
Final gameplay was a little over 100?
Wow, really?
Maybe. Crap. I actually had my Steam profile pulled up. But, and also that was kind of fluffed up a little bit because I let my kid play it too.
Ah, fair enough.
But, no, ultimately, like, even as a person who has a decent amount of time to play games, I thought that the content, like, there was a decent enough amount of it. But it was also, like, short enough that you could actually, like, blast through it if you wanted to.
I just remembered number 10 of my games. It was Omen Sight, and I beat it entirely.
Oh, hey. You actually beat the game. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, I do those from time to time if they hold my interest long enough.
As I'm sitting there playing a game, and I see John's playing this game, John's playing this game, John's playing this
game. I mean, lately I've been having a lot of problems where games just don't launch for some reason.
Oh.
Until I re-verify them, because somehow they got corrupted without me touching them.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Not good.
Well, and I've been doing a lot of troubleshooting. I've been seeing that's actually kind of frequent recently, so I'm wondering if, like, bad updates are getting through or something.
Huh. Alright. I had an issue at, like, another segue, but I had an issue with my browser at work. Apparently there was a plugin that was making it so that if I had my browser open for a while, this is, of course, after the latest Windows 10 update, but, you know, not their fault. But if I left my browser open for a while, you know, like I would at work, you know, leaving my computer running for weeks on end.
Yeah, for doing work.
Yeah. Dialog boxes would open up blank. Like, you're like, oh, log in. Your little login prompt will pop up completely blank. Like, what? I actually have to close the browser and reopen everything, like all my freaking 10, 15, 20 tabs, because I have all this shit that I'm doing at the same time. And it's like, oh, this is, thanks, great. Glad I have to do this.
I just wanted to go on Brink, but okay.
Yeah. And so I actually had to freaking, uninstall all my add-ons. And it's like, you know what? Seems about it. But anyway, Modic Tools. Yay, the thing that they said that they were going to have when they launched Final Fantasy XV. Now it's here.
You know what's sad is I was initially excited for Final Fantasy XV. I think I might skip it.
Yeah, skip it.
I think so. Particularly if Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out.
Kingdom Hearts 3? Do you have a PS4?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I was about to say, expect that shit to be on console forever, and then they'll hint at a fucking PC release.
I mean, they already hinted at the PC release, to be fair.
Oh, okay, so then we'll see that, you know.
Never.
Yeah. Or at least a year and a half, and then they'll be like, you know what's going to be awesome? We're going to have modding tools. And then they fucking will include, they'll be like, oh yeah, we do have a few mods, aka, like, cosmetic things that we made. Like, two. And then 3 months down the line, they're like, oh, okay, here we go. We finally have this, you know, modding tool after everyone, for the most part, has
already beaten the game and stopped playing.
Yeah. And so there have been some, like, people actually have been posting mods, so there are people that are kind of interested. Maybe the modders that are like, oh, I'm just waiting for this fucking, what the fuck are you doing?
Antagonizing you.
Oh, okay.
All right, so.
Okay, I have 114 hours.
Oh, okay, so probably 5 of those, maybe, Kyrian?
Yeah, probably. And a lot of the time, like, well, I guess that's Steam playtime, so that would still count. But, like, a lot of the time I'll be like, you have this save branch, I have this one.
Fair enough.
But, yeah.
So, on a related note, speaking of things that are taking too long to happen, Hearthstone patch is out a whole bunch of shit.
Oh, actually, I kind of wanted to bring that up. Sort of as a good on you, Blizzard. Because they actually did step up and fix things. So basically what happened was, so they have a big tournament in Seoul happening, mm-hmm. like this weekend. And they, a couple nights ago, they released a patch that did not nerf, quote-unquote, three major players in, well, I guess it wouldn't really call it, three cards that decks were built around. Like, it was, like, mm-hmm. Tess, which is, like, a rogue card, and then there was a paladin card that essentially did the same thing, where basically spells that you played during the match, once you played this card, it would replay those spells in, like, a random order.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what they did was they made it so that, because before it was just, like, it would play all the cards that you played previously, you know, until completion. And so that people would build a deck where they had all these cards that they would play, and then they would play that card, and that would be kind of like their end game. And so what they made it so that, because A, the spells happen in random orders now, and B, if the card gets removed from the board or killed, it stops. So basically, you could play this card, like a completely understated card, it could kill itself on the very first spell that it plays, and then you're done. And then they also completely changed the way that one of the quests functions. And so a lot of people were pissed off because they had already submitted their decks, built around these cards for this tournament. And when they, like, talk to the tournament people, it's like, hey, so this patch went out and completely screwed over my, like, my decks. We had no notice of this. Like, what can we do? Well, they told them to fuck off. Like, can you imagine? This is the shit that you make a living off of, and you're going to Seoul for a fucking tournament, and they completely just hamstring your goddamn decks, and you can't do anything about it.
You have to actually rely on luck.
Yeah, considering that there was another tournament about a month ago that they actually delayed a patch because it was going to officially nerf a card that someone could potentially build a deck around. So they actually delayed the patch till after the tournament to make sure that it didn't interfere. And then this one, they're just like, oh, we got a tournament this weekend. Let's go on ahead and... There we go. And so a lot of people were pissed off. The subreddit, with like the Hearthstone subreddit, which is not necessarily like, you know, a happy place most days, was fucking livid. And people were just generally pissed off. Articles were being written. And so they released a statement, I read it last night, that they're partially reverting one of the changes, and they're also allowing people who submitted decks with these cards to resubmit a new deck for the tournament.
Good.
So it was like, all of that happened within like 48 hours.
That doesn't exactly fix everything that happened, though. They should have waited till after the tournament to push it through.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what. And they should just plain old revert it back.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. That was the solution. Oh, yeah, shit, you're right. We do have a tournament. Let's not hamstring these people until afterwards.
Yeah. I was like, gonna pull back the patch, because also this patch completely screwed some stuff. Like, they did not bug test this patch at all. It almost seemed like they put it out, like, prematurely. Because, like, a whole bunch of card interactions just straight up wouldn't work anymore. There was, like, one card that allowed you to, like, adapt the card multiple times, and if you chose, like, one a specific choice in one of the, like, your first adapt, you just wouldn't do it, like, at all. It is, they completely broke a whole bunch of things, in which they kind of hot-fixed most of them, but still, there were some interactions that were kind of screwed up.
And you don't want me finding that out during a tournament.
I know, right? It's like, come on.
That was... What is with people in using... Okay. There's this thing called common sense, and it means different things to different people. But common sense is things like, hey, don't change things before a tournament that is going to have an effect on the tournament's results. That seems like common sense to me, because you guys already charged these people their entrance fee.
Oh.
They already submitted what they're going to be using, and then you changed what they're going to be using on them?
You changed, like, the fundamental rules of some certain things? Like, they changed a bunch of shit. Like, right before a tournament, like, days before a tournament. It's like, are you kidding me?
Again, common sense, guys. Even Hi-Rez figured out that you don't push a patch through for the tournament branch. You could also do that, just be like, hey, we have a branch that's separate without all the patches.
Yep.
That we use for the tournament. It's the, what's the word, the,
like, dev patch?
No, it's the...
Legacy,
thank you.
Yeah, no, it's like, just, you can have, you know, just make a copy of your live branch, and then just patch the live one, and then just have a separate one for the tournament. Like,
problem solved.
Yep. But no, now you had to completely piss off the community. People are still, like, pissed off because, you know, first of all, the cards that you modified still technically were a nerf, even though technically you released a card, and then months later you're like, well, we're going to do this because this is the way we wanted it to work in the beginning. Well, too bad, Jack. You fucking released it. So that's the way it's supposed to work. So modifying it to lower its power level at that point, even if that's what you wanted to in the beginning, that's still called a nerf. And so you should still be able to get, like, full dust refunds and all that shit, but nope, they're just modifying them.
I'm not a big fan of their practices recently.
Yeah.
Oh, also, there was a hiring position at Blizzard for... I have to add this to the show notes. There's a hiring position at Blizzard for a new job, for a unannounced Diablo project.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I have no idea what it means, but it's there.
I mean, like, unannounced, I suppose.
And one final piece of bullshit.
Ha! Yeah, so one thing that I that pissed me off when I got the fucking, wow, the Pixel, Google Pixel fucking 2 that I have, first thing that pissed me off about it, that I, for some reason, didn't even really think about when I originally got it, was the fact that they hopped on the, oh, we don't want an actual headphone jack fucking bandwagon, because that would be too fucking difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the whole adapter thing if you want to use a standard headphones. Yeah.
After making fun of...
After the Android community made fun of fucking Apple for me, you're stupid, why would you do that? That's dumb. And then all of a sudden it's just like, Samsung's sitting there like, well, I guess I'll do that now. And fucking Google is like, yeah, I guess I'll do that now. And it's, goddamn, it's a fucking annoying. Like, you'd think... They're like, oh, whatever, just get Bluetooth. Fuck you, fuck Bluetooth.
It doesn't work very well.
Also, there's so many applications that I used to use my phone for, like, even for work, that just can't fucking, just like, what the hell? I test audio on cameras, and I'm sorry, Jack, but fucking security cameras don't have Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, that's just me. But they are apparently, you know, they wanted to, you know, push
on the bandwagon.
Yeah, let's just, you know what, we're already on the bandwagon. There's another bandwagon over there. I want to be on that one now. And the Pixel 3 XL prototype that the information has been released on has a glass back.
Okay, couple things. First of all, why? Second of all, when I see a glass back on a phone, I think two things immediately. You're either going to break that, or you're going to put a case on it.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell do people even push when you buy a fucking phone? A case. What is a smart thing to put on a multi-hundred-dollar investment that you're making that you're going to be carrying around with you all the time?
Ooh, is it something fragile that'll shatter really easily?
Wrong.
Oh, shit.
Nice try.
I guess I should go work for Google.
You really should, actually. That sounds like it.
That fucking... I doubt that very many people want the look of the glass back more than they want their phone to not break and have to be replaced. Because, like James said, that is a multi-hundred-dollar device that only gets more expensive the more often you have to fuck with it.
Or how about the more, like, glass that you have on it?
Yep. Somehow, even though my phone is in an OtterBox, I managed to shatter my lens on my camera, or the lens protector, rather. The lens is actually fine. And I'm not... Look, the OtterBox actually protects most of that.
Yeah.
And somehow that still happened. Imagine your entire phone being made of the same material.
Ugh, fucking A. And what the fuck... What is the point? Like, really, even if you are just, you know, a god among men, and you can carry your phone around without fucking, like, a case on it, or, you know, just some sort of parachute that comes out every time you drop it, which would be nice. I actually...
Honestly, yeah.
Fucking cold cock just dropped my phone in the parking lot the other day, and it just landed on the corner perfectly, and I was like, oh shit, it probably just shattered. No, it didn't. Why? Because I had a fucking case on it.
Yeah.
But anyway... Yeah, if you're one of those people that's just like, you know, I fucking don't have a case because I don't need one because apparently I have no life and I don't.
I hope someone swats your phone out of your hand.
That'd actually be kind of nice. If someone walks up to me with a Pixel 3 and it's like, yeah, I don't carry a case because I want to see the bed, just smack it. It's like, oh, wish you had a case now, didn't you, bitch? But yeah, it's like, it's fucking, why? Like, what purpose does it serve? Is it because it feels nice? Why don't you just have a metallic bag?
It doesn't feel nice, even. Like, it gets grubby and sticky with sweat, and you can see smears on it.
Yeah, it's like it's fucking smudged up within a couple days, and it's like, are you kidding me?
You have to clean it constantly? It doesn't even... what? Your hand has to go on it! That's how you hold the phone! What, do you hold it like daintily? By the sides?
Yeah, exactly.
As I demonstrate with the show notes.
Exactly, yes. Demonstrating for the audio.
Yeah, you know.
Like you do.
Yeah, clearly.
So it doesn't make any sense to me functionally why you would do it to begin with. And also, there's the fact that 99.9% of smart people have cases on their phone.
Because they don't want their investments, because they are very expensive, to break!
A new fucking, like, a Google Pixel was, like, $600. Like, $700. It's like, granted, you do, like, you pay it off in payments or whatever if you've got some sort of contract or shit like that.
Well, it's still money out of your fucking pocket regardless of when it gets paid off.
Yeah, and it's like, it's, that's just another fucking thing you want to buy. And what do you want to buy? A thin sheet of aluminum that goes on the back of your phone? Or do you want to buy, like, a fucking glass back that's going to go on that fucking
thing? I'm going to go with the aluminum. They make airplanes out of that shit.
I know, right? And airplanes crash, and sometimes they're fine.
I mean, that's better than phones.
Exactly. Imagine if you had a plane made of glass.
How put a case on an airplane. There we go.
See, there we go.
Just put a giant pocket box in. Okay. Anyway, guys, I think that's going to do it for us this week. I guess catch up with us next week, and I'll talk about Omen Sight, because I completely forgot about it until, like, midway through this part.
Yeah, we totally need to do, like, a what you've been playing and shit like that.
Which should tell you how much I thought of the game. Anyway, guys, from all of us here at Dapper Shark,
it's been a good shark.
All of us here at Dapper Shark. She can't hear us.
Fuck you, anyway, too.
Bye, guys.
See ya.